I'd like to learn together B'siyata D'Shmaya, the Yismach Yisrael's Torah on Parshas Nachamu and Tu B'Av. We'll begin with the piece in Parshas Veschanan Os Hay, which appears on page 70. Nachamu, Nachamu, of course, the double lashon of Nachama, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, as the Navi Yeshaya tells us. The Chazal B'Medrash, Chazal and the Medrash wonder, Amru Lama Shnei Pa'amim, why Nachamu, Nachamu, what's the double lashon of Nachamu? Rabbi Omer lefisha kol makos halalu shalaku kafulos hayu. Rabbi explains that all the punishments that the Jews received were double punishments. Shechein Yirmiyah Amar, as we find in Megillas Eicha, Yirmiyah Hanavi wrote shever al shever, a double lashon of being afflicted, being beaten. Chet chatay Yerushalayim, a double lashon of sin. V'kol kach lama v'chulu, says the Medrash, and why was that so? Why were we doubly punished? Medrash says, because we doubly sinned. So since we doubly sinned, we were doubly punished. And therefore, just like the punishment was a double punishment, so too the nechama, when it comes, is a double nechama. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. That's the words of the Medrash. Yismach Yisrael asks a simple question. Medrash tzarech bir. V'chi ovir HaKadosh Baruch Hu din b'lo deina. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do din that's not justified? In other words, what does it mean a double punishment? If that's the punishment that was appropriate for the Avera, so then that's called the punishment, not a double punishment. Ki lama laku b'keflaim. Why were they struck twice, so to speak? Im shelo chatu b'keflaim, because they sinned twice. So why are we looking at it as a double sin and a double punishment? Look at it as many sins which come with a bigger punishment. And if they doubly sin, then it's not a double punishment. Again, rather, it's an appropriate punishment. Perhaps we could explain, based on the Medrash in Eicha, on again the words, that Yerushalayim has doubly sinned. Asks the Medrash, you're accusing Klal Yisrael of sinning. Do Klal Yisrael sin to the exclusion of the Umas HaOlam? Ela umos ha'olam afal pi shayuchotin lo lecha, aval Yisrael chatu velaku. Says the Medrash, when the umos ha'olam sin, the sin is not relevant to you. We'll explain what that means. But when Klal Yisrael sin, we sin and we're punished by you, Hashem. Ubir divrei ha'medrash, who in the explanation of the Medrash is as follows. Ki umos ha'olam mitoch shemekor machtzav asam hu mekor shafel, lezos afal pi shayuchotin lo lecha. Ratzalomar ein hapagam nikar lamala, because of the nature of the Jewish soul and the non-Jewish soul, so there's a distinction into the degree of seriousness and expectation that Hashem has for us. Again, I always point out when we share ideas like this that Rav Chaskel Besser once said that being the chosen people, again, is always a double-edged sword. It's not bragging rights. It's certainly not a simple way for us to pat ourselves on the back and declare ourselves holier than thou. It comes with greater responsibility. Being chosen means greater responsibility for the world, greater responsibility to live a life of morality and to uplift the world. And like he further emphasized, being chosen means chosen in both directions. We're chosen to receive the Torah at Har Sinai, and we're chosen to die 6 million in the Holocaust. So we say this obviously with an appreciation that the Umos HaOlam are also created B'Tzalem Elokim, but there's an expectation that Hashem has for someone who's imbued with a Jewish soul. That the Umas HaOlam, because they don't come from the same pure source that the Jewish people come from. So therefore, when they sin, Hashem is not as concerned with their sin. In other words, it's appropriate, given their circumstance, to make certain mistakes, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not be as foregoing and forgiving if it was Klal Yisrael. Ratzalom, Ein HaPagam Nikar Lamala. The shortcomings do not stain as deeply up above. Because of our unique relationship with Hashem, as the Torah says, "Banim atem laHashem elokeichem," shemekor machsav osinu mitachas kisei hakavod, that our souls were hewn from tachas kisei hakavod, carved out from beneath His holy throne. Again, a chelik elokam mimal mamish, as we've said so many times, in the words of the Baal HaTanya. V'lizos, based on the pasuk in Iyov, v'lizos yecholim lizkos liyudavik bekedusha yona ulekabel taras hakodesh, and because of that initial supernal formation of the Jewish soul, it allows us the opportunity to attach to Hashem in a certain way, and the failure becomes that much greater when we don't. So therefore, because of the place from which we come, our failure to live up to our potential is a much more din. Vapagam, and it resonates that much stronger up above. Vapagamim machshichim is einei adam eliras or pnei melachayim. And tragically, when a person does an avera, it darkens our eyes, it clouds our vision, both a physical vision and a moral vision. Umonim iliskar ve'lav, and it makes it difficult for us to keep our eye on approaching Hashem. It becomes an impediment to our attachment to Hashem. That's why the Gemara in Gittin refers to those Jews who were known to be God-fearing and particularly righteous from Yerushalayim. They're referred to as Nekiyei Hadas, people of clean minds, people who have that moral vision and clarity. They have the ability to understand such a thing that's so desperately needed in our world today. What a olam hafach we're living in. That people in Yerushalayim had Nekiyei Hadas, they had a simple understanding of reality, of what is right and what is wrong, and what is godly and what is profane. V'kol d'mitabrin galyon lehu, and all that was concealed, mitabrin means hidden, was galyon lehu, was revealed to them. Ratzalomer shezachu lachzos be'inayim pekuchos, as ha'or p'nei melechayim. They were basking in the presence of Hashem's radiant light, which of course shines so brightly in Yerushalayim. You can even feel that even today, despite our Yerida Sadoros. And that's what it means, Chatu B'Keflayim. What does it mean, Chatu B'Keflayim? The truth of the matter is, every Avera is a double Avera. And he quotes from Rav Yitzchak Avorki as explaining, so Asemes is a similar Mahalach. Rav Yitzchak Avorki Zatzal, Zuchusi again Aleinu, explained the Pasuk. Pasuk in Tehillim says in chapter 90, Shata Avonosenu L'Negdecha, our sins are displayed before you. What does that mean? Sha'inin Hu. There's two diminishing aspects to an avera. Ha'alef hu gufachet. The fact that Hashem told you to do something and you did the opposite, that's already very bad. Shemorid lasos neged ratzon habori yisbach shemo malcho shel olam. That you rebelled against the creator of the world, and that itself is obviously a terrible pagam. And Hashem should forgive us all, because we all have too many of those shortcomings. V'habeiz hu, but the secondary effect we may not even realize is that kimachshich es einei ha'adam eliros ba'or pnei melech chayim l'skar ve'lav. It's one avera that, again, this is how the Sfasemis ties it into avera goreres avera, that every avera in a certain sense leads to the next avera because it clouds my vision. It doesn't allow me to realize that I'm getting far from Hashem, and that itself is very frightening. It's similar to what the Baal Shem Tov explained on Anochi Haster Astir Panai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could hide in such a way that you don't even realize that he's hiding. We can move away from Hashem in such a way that we don't even realize that we're farther from Hashem, and it doesn't even bother us. And that's a terrible tragedy. So the Avera itself is a rebellion against Hashem, but the way that the Avera distances us from Hashem is equally painful. And that's the pshat in the Pasuk. Let's go back to the whole Pasuk now. V'zeu shata avonoseinu l'negdecha, our sins are placed before you, Hashem. That's the Avera itself, who guf hachet shemradnu negdecha. But says Rav Yitzchak Avorki, what's the end of the Pasuk? V'alumeinu l'mor panecha. Alumeinu means that which is halam, that which is concealed. Our hidden crimes, our hidden averos, l'mor panecha. It causes us to what? To be distanced from the radiance of your face. Hainu ma sheheldim hachet meitanu yedias me'or panecha l'iskar ve'lecha. It causes us to not even realize how far we are from you sometimes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the double tragedy of every Avera. And that's what it means, Chatu B'Keflayim. This is the dual nature of every Avera. Sfasemba says a little bit differently. Sfasemba says that every Avera has a dual aspect in the sense that you rebelled against Hashem, and now you're forcing Hashem to punish you, which is what Hashem doesn't want, because Hashem likes to be able to bless you with good things. And every mitzvah is really a double mitzvah. Again, because I have the Guf HaMitzvah itself, and the fact that Hashem can now reward me for doing His mitzvahs gives Hashem great nachas ruach, as it were. U'lefichach kisholak u'laku b'keflayim. So therefore, we were doubly punished. What is the double punishment? Again, it's not just a response to our avera. It's just the metzias of our avera. The avera causes us to become distant from Hashem, and that is a punishment, obviously, for one who's has a mind that's clear and understands what his tachlis is in this world. Haynu afshar laku b'davar echad. Says the Yismach Yisrael, even though they were afflicted singularly, achi achas chein shtayim. But again, every avera and its punishment is sort of a double punishment. It's one which is two. Kimovad sara de gufa, Gam ha'yisur mevat limital mitorah mi'avodas ha'kodesh. Because when Hashem punishes you, in addition to the pain of the punishment, but also the fact that I'm, let's say a person's sick, a person has yisurim that he's describing here. He's going through a difficulty. So in addition to the pain that he's in, he's also not able to learn Torah very well or do mitzvot because of his difficult situation. And that's the double punishment. And we laid this yikras ora Torah haniglav anistar. He's been removed now because of his difficult situation, because of whatever he's going through. He's now unable to continue to study Torah. And he's so distracted that he doesn't even have time to take to heart this reality and to cry out mikiras libo eich shahaya ad ata karov. Until now I've been close, nechmad, I've been beloved, you did. These are the words that the Rambam uses to describe the Jew after he does tshuva, and also before he does the avera. He's karov, he's nechmad, he's yedid, he's so close to Hashem, he's a friend of Hashem's. And now he's become hated, as it were, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you do tshuva, it's really a double tikkun. The healing and the comfort is also of a double nature. Nachamu nachamu. It's a double Yeshua from this difficulty. Why? Ki lo zos milvad. Not only has he chased away through his tshuva the bitterness of his heart and the pain that he's going through, but all of a sudden, as he draws close to Hashem once again, as he begins to heal from mourning himself, really. That's really what Tisha B'Av is. We're mourning ourselves. Nachamu nachamu is the comfort that comes after the, hopefully, the process of tshuva has begun to come back to Hashem. So he's not only no longer in intense pain, but he starts to feel the sasan, the simcha, shezochi. He feels close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way that it's supposed to feel. When I wrong a person, halavai, I think is what the Yismach Yisrael means, halavai, I should get back to the point, the way that it was before him. That itself is very hard to do. But by Hashem, it goes even beyond that. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we wrong HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do tshuva, in fact, we even go beyond where we once were. Kamo she'amru Chazal, tshuva me'ava zedonos nasim kezechuyos. The avera itself is not just erased, but rather it's turned into a mitzvah. In other words, the relationship is not just repaired, but the relationship is enhanced. V'alidei tshuva me'ava yitoknu shtei chasronos. So therefore, tshuva me'ava fixes these two aspects that are hurting when a person does an avera. Not only do I, again, fix the egregious nature of my sin, but I, so to speak, fix time. I'm able to rectify the time that was lost and wasted through the sin. It becomes merit for me. Top of page 71. And it turns my distance into unbelievable closeness. As the Rambam writes again in Hilchos Tshuva in the seventh parak, Shalo rak she'eno nikra nazuf. Not only you're not called scorned or rejected, rak nasa, again the lashonas I mentioned earlier, ahuv nechmar karuv yadid, you become so close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yesterday, in the words of the Rambam, emesh, yesterday you were sonu, you were repulsive, you were hated, and now a Kadosh Baruch Hu invites you back with arms wide open. Ki achshav hu mekayim mitzvah saseh v'shavta, because after all, the return itself is a mitzvah. As we read in this week's parsha, v'shavta, the return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the mitzvah, and that's the nachamu b'keflayim. That's the nachamu nachamu ami. Not only have I erased the avera, but I've restored the relationship. And again, it's so important to think about this in the context of what we do. Every mitzvah and avera is not just either a star on our heavenly chart to get a prize, or God forbid, an X to show our failure. It damages the relationship in a deep way. And therefore, when we do tshuva, it's not just, again, about erasing the averos, but it's about rebuilding that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go on to Oz Vav, continuing right where we are on the page. Oz Vav, Yismach Yisrael Parshas V'Eschanan Oz Vav, a little bit of a hemshich of Nachamu, with a little bit of Tu B'Av as well. Rov Pa'amim, he Shabbos Nachamu B'Tu B'Av. More often than not, Shabbos Nachamu and Tu B'Av coincide. V'Haremez, Tesvav, right? The idea of Tu B'Av Tesvav, how would you write Tesvav? Tesvav is 15, so it could also be written as Yud and Hey. We know that Yud and Hey of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud and Hey represent in the Sfiros Chachma and Bina. That's what Ches Vav Beis represents on the page. Chachma Ubina. So Tu B'Av is sort of the transition from the world of Yud into the world of Hey, into the world of Bina. Well, what is the world of Bina? Says the Yismach Yisrael at the top of the left column, Bina hu makor ha-tshuva kanoda. Bina is a place where tshuva comes from. There's a lot of reasons for this. Not really for now. Different explanations. But tshuva is certainly something that's lamala manateva. Tshuva is something that precedes creation. If you count from the spheros, from the bottom up, starting from Malchus, working your way backwards, so Bina is the eighth, eight is lamala manateva, eight is something wondrous, it's a pella. Tshuva is very much connected to something that is irrational and goes beyond. Again, the world of Bina, of deeper understanding, the recognition of what I did wrong and how I can fix it, not just the simple acknowledgement of what I did wrong like we were learning a moment ago, but an understanding of how it damages so deeply the relationship with Hashem. So Bina, again, Kanoda, as he says, is well known, is the place of tshuva. And therefore what? This Shabbos, right, tomorrow is, today is Thursday, tomorrow is Friday, Arab Shabbos this year is Tu B'Av. So the relationship between Tu B'Av leading into Shabbos Nachmu is very significant. This Shabbos we begin the seven haftoros that offer nechama, words of comfort, coming out of Tisha B'Av, and it takes us all the way to Rosh Hashanah. Amazing. What we're hinting to, the Zayin de Nechemta is teaching us that tshuva helps us to fix all of our seven lower midos. All of the tikkun that needs to take place in the lower realms, in the emotional attributes of man, the same way we work on it during Sfiras Omra, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus, the Shiva, the Nechemta, through the process really of tshuva, we come to healing. V'nechama achrona, and of course, if we're following the seven midos, the seven haftoros correspond to the seven lower Sfiros, so that means the last week corresponds to the last of the Sfiros, which is Malchus. Well, that works out beautifully. That's why Zesha Achareza Hu Rosh Hashanah. After we've completed this cycle of seven, we come to Rosh Hashanah, which of course is the day of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'oz nis'ala v'yashal ha'kiseh malchuso. V'omim ha'melech ha'kadosh. Shehi ratzon sh'nizkeh l'nechamas Yerushalayim. Halavai we should be zochet to this, to work through these 7 weeks as a means of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should come to Rosh Hashanah and declare ha'melech ha'kadosh, and really have earned it, again, through the Zayin de Nechemta, this process of tshuva, it's really beginning to unfold in these weeks. And he concludes by saying, V'zeh she'amru sof tanis, this is what the Gemara at the end of Maseches Tanis says about Tu B'Av, demosif yosef, that these are days of trying to increase. Pashat Pshat, increasing our Torah, increasing our Avodas Hashem, but in the context of what he's saying here, the tikkun of the seven lower spheros, what it means is delo mosif achulo. The Gemara says, if you don't increase, then obviously that's very damaging. Hainu, what does that mean? Letakin hamidos velelech mimadrega lemadrega ad midas malchus. To work our way through these seven midos until we come to the perfection of the midah of malchus and are able to declare hamelech on Rosh Hashanah. I want to just end by learning one more small piece. It appears in the back of the Sefer for those who have the blue edition of the Yismach Yisrael. In the back of the Sefer, there's a section called Ma'oran Shel Yisrael with additional Torahs. This piece happens to come from the brother of the Yismach Yisrael, the Baal Teferes Shmuel, but it's an amazing piece on page 29 in the back, in the Ma'oran Shel Yisrael. And unfortunately, we don't have time right now, but the Ba'es Chanan piece in the back, where he talks about the essence, again, of the Jewish soul, is a very beautiful piece, and I highly recommend taking the time to look at it if you can. But just to conclude with Tu B'Av, he says, the Gemara in Tanis tells us, we're on page 29 again in the back of the Sefer. The Gemara in Tanis in Dav Lamed Amud Beis says, Lo hayu yom tovim liYisrael k'Tu B'Av u'k'yom ha'kippurim. There's no Jewish holidays quite as significant as Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. The Gemara, in a almost humorous comment, says Yom Kippur. Of course, we know what that is, a day of Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, Kabbalah Satorah, Lucha Shnios. Tu B'Av, remind me, Mahi, what is that? Kilo, the Gemara doesn't even know what it is, but one of the greatest holidays, we have to embrace it. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebezet. Many opinions the Gemara has, I think 6 opinions in total. What Tu B'Av is so significant? Why Tu B'Av is so significant? One of the explanations that it was the day that the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry, tribal intermarriage was allowed. Tosfos has a cryptic comment. Tosfos says that on this day, Yom Shehut Shvatim Levo Zabazeh, Perish Dahainu Yom Tov. He says that means it's a Yom Tov. What do you mean it's a Yom Tov? We know it's Yom Tov. Lohai Yom Tov in Yisrael. Dahainu Yom Tov. What does that mean, Yom Tov? So he explains, Maran Avi Admor Zatzal explained perhaps the deeper meaning of this Tosfos. Debechol Hayamim Tovim Yesh Bem Ktsas Din. A Yom Tov also has in every Yom Tov, as celebratory as it is, has an element of Midas Adin. In what sense? As we know, Tavua, on Atzeres, on Shavuos, we're judged for the Peros HaIlan, on Rosh Hashanah, of course, we all pass before Hashem, called by Olam over in Lefanav Kabinei Maron, which the Gemara is an explanation of three explanations of what Bnei Maron is, but essentially we're being judged, passing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be scrutinized. Uvechag, of course, only to see our good. Hashem wants to see good in us. But Hashem is looking carefully. Uvechag nidon alamayim, and on Sukkot we're judged for water. So, since we're being judged on each of the major holidays, there's an element of Midas Hadin. Aval b'chamisha, sar ba'av, ein bo shum inyan din, v'hu ba'etzem ach tov liyisrael. But on chamisha, sar ba'av, says Tosfos, dahainu yom tov, it's a yom tov, kapshuto, it's a day that is truly tov, through and through, completely tov. It doesn't have an element of Midas Hadin. That's what Tosfos means, dahainu yom tov, itzumo shel yom hu ach tov. What an amazing way to look at this day. And of course, the comparison to Yom Kippur becomes very obvious to us in this regard. Because Yom Kippur, of course, is the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the essence of a Jew, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the goodness of the Jew, the Pintel Yid within the Jew. We go through the five tefillos of the day, culminating in the Ilah, which corresponds to Yechida, the perfected part of the Jewish soul. So it's a day where Yom Tov, where it's Mamish Tov, where Hashem sees the good. And Tu B'Av, in some remarkable and secretive way, is also connected to that feeling of Yom Kippur, a very significant thing. Of course, on a simple level also, Tov, we know, is a code word for Torah. As the Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Hei, in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Tes, the Mishnah in the sixth parak of Avos, the Brisa in the sixth parak of Avos, that says, Ein Tov El Torah. So therefore, Tu B'Av, the Gemara says, is a Yom Tov. In other words, a time to increase our Limud Torah, as the Gemara says explicitly. And Yom Kippur also, paralleling Tu B'Av in this way, is a Yom Tov. It's a day of Torah. It's a day we got the second Luchos. So, Yirtzeh Hashem, we should see the goodness in ourselves. We should recognize that the Midas Hadin is being suspended. And Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow on Tu B'Av, Tafshinayin Tes, it should be a day of Torah. Obviously, when a Jew is connected to Torah, he's connected to the source of life. So, it's much easier for a person to be good and to be seen as good when he's connected to Torah. But Amir Tashem, everyone should enjoy the Antiv and enjoy the Nechama of this Shabbos in the weeks ahead. And Amir Tashem will be able to come to Rosh Hashanah truly prepared to be Mamlech, the creator of the world.